Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the bread of the earth. When Jesus looked up as he held the bread and the fish in his hands, he probably prayed a prayer very much like the one I just prayed. After all, he was a rabbi. He would have known all the appropriate prayers and blessings. And so those people who, like the Israelites in the desert, in the wilderness, had nothing to eat. They were in a desolate place, Matthew notes. God provided for them, for their bellies, for their hunger, for their bodies, for their physical selves. God provided for them out of God's abundance. God feeds those people with Jesus as a blessing, because after all, as Jesus probably blessed with the blessing that he said, God brings forth bread from the earth, and we are satisfied. And what's wonderful about this, too, is that nobody had to fill out any forms to see if they qualified for the food. Nobody had to belong to any particular group. Jesus didn't say, okay, just give it to the Jews. If they speak Greek, nope, they're out. If they're Romans or Samaritans, no, we don't want them. For the men and the women and the children, everybody got more than enough to eat without qualification. And it's the same way with you and me. When you got to eat breakfast this morning or dinner last night, God didn't say, well, let's see if you've been righteous enough for this meal. Did you make it to the level of okay, I guess I'll bless you now? No. God provides without qualification to all of his children out of God's great mercy. And I'm pretty dang sure that pretty much all of us here, and now I don't know everyone here, we probably all have different situations, and probably some of you have known what it's like to be hungry and not have food. But I imagine that most of us had more than enough to eat. I know I have. Maybe a little too much. And God feeds us without regard to race or religion or gender or nationality. God feeds all of his children because that's what God wants to do. How has God fed you? How is God feeding you when you're in a desolate place and there's nowhere for you to go? How does God feed you? Maybe spiritually, but today we're thinking about the food that you eat. Who had bacon this morning for breakfast? Anybody? No? Who's going to have bacon later when they go out to brunch? Right over here. Yeah? Yeah? Who? Eggs? Anybody? Who likes eggs? I like eggs. Yeah, okay. Probably not fish for breakfast. Maybe a piece of toast. Yeah, anybody toast this morning? Yeah, some toast. Okay. So we can sing, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth toast from the earth and feeds us. Now you have to contrast that. It's an interesting contrast with the story that comes immediately before this story. And you can't really understand the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 unless you understand the story that comes right before it. Because Matthew put those stories together on purpose, because he tells this story as a flashback. It's not in order. It's not in chronological order. Matthew puts that story right there so that we can compare the two stories and we contrast the two stories. And the story that comes right before is King Herod beheading John the Baptist at his birthday party. It's King Herod's birthday party. So the wine is flowing, and the ladies are dancing, and the place is all decorated, and all the courtiers are there, and the instruments are there, and people are, you know, there's a smorgasbord, there's a buffet, and it's just the select few. It's just the important people, just the people who met, who are the allies and friends of the people in power, just the people who are trying to impress the king, just the people who got, you know, you're on the list. Are you on the list? No? Yep, okay, you can come in. No, you're not on the list. Just the people who are on the list are there at the party. And what happens when the person in power has all the resources? He uses this opportunity to kill an innocent man. John the Baptist. So instead of taking the opportunity to think, oh, wow, I have all these things, I have all these people, why don't I share them? He says, I will do the opposite. I will destroy instead of create. I will tear down instead of build up. I will make a gate, a bar. I will segregate and separate instead of open my arms to all. So to look at the way that Jesus is leading is so radically different than the way that the people would have expected a leader to be. They expected a Herod, and they got a Jesus, and they were like, we like Jesus a lot better. Because Jesus cares for them without qualification, without making a doorway, without a list. Jesus cares for them to have life, to give them life. Because these people were hungry. They knew hunger. 90% of the people, probably, some scholars think, were just getting by. And there was a little group of people who were kind of middle classy. And then there was just a tiny group of people who controlled most of the wealth. 90% of the people, either seasonally or kind of every day, didn't know if they were going to have enough food. And so when they prayed from the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, they meant it. Because they didn't have a fridge to go to and say, or a pantry. And so for Jesus to feed this crowd, they're like, wow, God really does care about us. God really does want us to eat the bounty of the earth. This man must be from God. Because they knew hunger in this Roman world. That crowd knew what it was like to be hungry in a way that probably most of us don't. And it's God's will that hungry people get fed. Listen to Ezekiel as he condemns Israel's leaders. He says, ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? And then the prophet Isaiah declares God's will that we, God's people, should share our bread with the hungry. And so Jesus is living this out. Jesus is making it happen. Jesus is bringing forth the kingdom of God in this place, on this hillside, in this desolate place. God's abundance is flowing, overflowing. We used to sing that at summer camp. Fill my cup and let it overflow. Oh, fill my cup and let it overflow. Oh, yeah. Fill my cup and let it overflow. Let it overflow with toast. No, not toast. With love. And not only is it God's will that the hungry be fed right now in this place, but this is also God's will for the world, for all people, for all time. And so in Isaiah's text today, we hear about God's desire for all creation to be able to eat and not have to worry about where the money is coming from, and to be able to eat the good stuff without having to buy it or save up for it. I love the text. Are you thirsty? Isaiah is saying, are you thirsty? Come. There's a fountain in God. Are you hungry? You don't have any money? Don't worry. There's more than enough to eat because we're selling it for free. That's God's vision of heaven. That's God's vision of what it's like to be in the kingdom of God. The disciples, understandably, are having a hard time wrapping their mind around this there on the hillside. And I don't blame them, because they have very good reasons for doubting Jesus. Very practical reasons. Reasons that I think all of us would go, yes, that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, first of all, they're in a desolate place. They're saying, look, Jesus, this is a bad place for us. All the villages are way off over there. We're here on this hillside by the lake. And where's the food going to come from, Jesus? Where's the food going to come from? This doesn't make any sense. And then they say, again, look, Jesus, this isn't a good time for us. It's evening. It's late in the day. The sun's going down. We don't have a lot of time to get this all facilitated here. How are we going to figure this out? We got some logistical problems, Jesus. And then they say, look, Jesus, really, this isn't our problem. This isn't our problem, Jesus. You know, just send them away. All these people, just send them away, and they'll go figure it out for themselves. We don't have to feed them. Let them go buy them food in the villages. And if I'm honest with myself, and I invite you to be honest with yourselves, when I look at these problems and I'm faced with them, thinking about hungry children and people without clothes and some of the folks you probably met and worked with when you were in Detroit. Honestly, I would like them to go away too, if I'm honest with myself. I don't want to have to think about them. I want them to go and fend for themselves and go into the villages and buy their own dang food. And I don't want to have to feed them. But Jesus says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Jesus says to us, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Every year there's 3 million children in this world who die just because they don't have enough food. That's more children who die because they don't have enough food, then tuberculosis kills and AIDS kills, HIV/AIDS, and malaria kills altogether. So all those three diseases added up kills fewer children than just not having enough food. 1 in 8 people in the world. So, I mean, how many people we got right here? This is 8 right here. It's 8. 4 in the front right here. All right, you don't get to eat. All right, Jim, okay. You have to leave. No, you're not invited to the party. No, that's what the world says. We're both the crowd. Do this with me. Everybody put your hands out. Put your hands out like this. We're the crowd sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus has that bread, and he says, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And then he puts that bread into our hands, and we receive it. And we gather it up, and there's leftovers. We're the crowd. But at the same time, we're the disciples. And we take the food that Jesus has placed into our hands, and we give it to feed the hungry. Amen.